Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Five Star Business Finance Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhuva.
Thank you, Michelle. Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Five Star Business Finance Q1 FY24 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank Five Star management team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of Five Star, represented by Mr. Lakshmipathy, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rangarajan, CEO, and Mr. Srikanth, CFO. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Lakshmipathy for opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Renish. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll invite you to this Q1 earnings call. This is the fourth earnings call that Five Star is taking up with the participant. I think we have come across one full year. So for performance of Five Star that you people have seen, so it's a clear understanding that what we say and what we do correlates a lot. With this note, let me open up the outlook, what happened in Q1. Generally, for lenders, June quarter is a bit muted comparing to the March. I think for Five Star, the June quarter is a trendsetter to see how this financial year will be looking like. Starting from our AUM growth, we have moved our AUM from 5,296 crores last year to 7,583 crores, registering a growth of 43% year-on-year. And most importantly, quarter-on-quarter, we moved from 6,915 crores to 7,583 crores, registering a double-digit growth of 10%, close to 10%. That has come from we have opened a good amount of branch. Last full year, we have opened 75 branches, and for the first quarter, April to June, we have opened 13 branches. As we always say, one of the growth levers is starting new branches at existing and the new locations, new states. This has improved our disbursement, and our disbursements have moved from 568 crores to 1,132 crores, nearly 99% growth from year-on-year. And from quarter-on-quarter, we have moved 2% higher than the March disbursement. This has happened after COVID. This is the first time that June disbursement, June quarter disbursement has crossed March quarter disbursement. Moving to the collection part, I think collections part also Five Star has done very well in Q1 of this financial year. Our collection efficiency, as given in our presentation, we have done one of the best collection efficiency and what we call due one, C1, that is collecting an EMI from all live customers, has also been very good comparing to March, equal to March. What this has resulted is, we have made one of the best current customers. Our current bucket has moved to all-time high of 85%. Pre-COVID, our all-time high was 82% of current and 18% of arrear customers. That has now moved to 85% of current. And for the first time ever, our 30+ metric has dropped down to single digit. It has dropped down to 9.68%. This is the first of its kind in Five Star. So this shows the strong momentum what Five Star has demonstrated even in collections. If you see across every bucket, be the current or stage one or stage two, We have improved in all buckets. What this has resulted is one of the best asset quality. Our 90 plus has moved a bit from 1.04% last quarter to 1.08%. This is just a blip of this being the June quarter. And the technical NPA, what I said in last call also, the new RBI circular which kicked on, that NPA number has moved on from 1.36% to 1.41%, increase of 5 bps. So the 90 plus and NPA, technical NPA, mostly remains the same compared with March quarter. The difference between 90 plus and NPA, which is 0.33%, which comes out to 25 crores of assets, which is lesser than 90 DPD, is being declared as a NPA due to the new circular which got kicked in. This business and collection has resulted in one of the best profits for Five Star. Our PAT, profit after tax for this quarter, has moved from 139 crores in last year to 184 crores this year, registering a 32%. And from last quarter, it moved from 169 crores to 184 crores, registering a Q on Q of 9%. And from a borrowing cost also, I'm happy to say that our cost on book keeps reducing. Even this quarter, it has reduced from 9.87% to 9.80%. And our incremental borrowing cost remains at 9.18%, which is one of the attractive borrowing costs for the size of the company. And finally, on the provision, we have maintained or increased a bit provision of ECL, which has moved from 1.61% last quarter to 1.64% this quarter. So all in all the cylinders of business collections and profitability and quality has been as good for this first quarter of this financial year. We are very optimistic and a very strong hope that this will continue for the next three quarters. Keeping this in mind, we are revising our growth guidance from 30% to 35%. With this, let me conclude my opening remarks and hand it over to my team. I think start with Srikant to take you through more on the numbers. Thank you.
So, good evening to all of you. A lot of the numbers have already been stated, so I'll quickly touch upon, you know, financial metrics, and then maybe, you know, open out for queries and questions from your side. Our yields continue to be stable at around 24.4%. You know, you'll always see a 10-15 basis points drop this way, that way on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Like Mr. Pathy said, our cost came in at 9.8%, so that's a very healthy spread of 14.6% as compared to a 13.6% spread for Q1 of last financial year. The NIMS was at about 17.74%, primarily, you know, coming on account of the lower funding costs as compared to closer to 17% for last quarter, Q1 of FY23. All this has actually resulted in a healthy ROA of about 8.41% for the current quarter and an ROE of 16.62%. The ROE has actually gone up by about 184 basis points year on year and about 50 basis points quarter on quarter. We continue to, you know, keep a very well-diversified borrowing profile. We have about 50 lenders who have lent to us. Even during the first quarter, which typically tends to be muted from a borrowing perspective as well, we got sanctions of about 890 crores, out of which we availed 730 crores of fresh borrowings. This has come in at an interest rate of 9.18%, even assuming the all-in cost, including the other fees and other ancillary charges. The number is 9.5%. This compares against 9.53 of last in Q4 that we raised. So the interest rates increase in the market has not impacted us yet. There is a possibility that there will be some small revisions in the MCLR that will come through, because most of our sanctions are based on one year or 6 month MCLR. So we may see some uptick coming on the book cost, but we are confident that the incremental cost will be at around 9.5 or maybe lower, which will sort of offset the increase that may come in on account of the MCLR increases. We have a very good liquidity on the balance sheet. We have about 1,400 crores inclusive of the 160 crores of undrawn sanctions that we have taken. During this quarter, CARE also has upgraded our rating to AA-. So today we have AA- from all three agencies. The profitability continues to be robust. So we had a 32% year-on-year increase in the profitability and a 9% on a sequential basis. So we ended the first quarter with about 184 crores of profitability. On the PCR side, again, both on the overall AUM, we are maintaining a 1.64%, which is one of the highest for a secured lender. And on the stage 3 assets, we are maintaining a PCR of 44%. This has come down slightly, but then last quarter itself, we had sort of guided you that it was a slight increase in the last quarter. We would like to maintain this around the 40% levels. We are at 44%. Restructured book is performing well. As a percentage of the overall book, it has actually come down to 0.76%. And even on that, we are maintaining a PCR of about 50%. And again, about 90% of this restructured book is in the standard category. This is after repayment behavior of 7 quarters. So on the whole, I think we have had our growth momentum back. Collections have stacked up extremely well. This is reflecting in the profitability. So with all of these three metrics, the growth, profitability and quality remaining robust, you know, we are poised to take advantage of the large opportunity available in this segment. On that note, happy to take any questions that any of you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and 1 to ask a question at this time. We have the first question from the line of Ajit Kumar from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. On the yield side, you were planning to reduce the yield from 24 to 23, if I remember it correctly, as the cost goes down.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio is not clear. Maybe request you to use your handset, please.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed. Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, sure. So my first question is on the yield side. You were planning to reduce the yield from current 24 to 23 or 22 as the cost of funds goes down. Just wanted to check a status on that. That's my first question.
Ajit, we have not yet finalized that because you all know that we all think strongly that rate hike cycle is stopped. But we just wanted to see the first symptom from Reserve Bank, how the stance has been taken. Then we will take up a call appropriately. Yes, what we said holds good.
Okay. Fine. Investment of sharply from around 144 crores to 355 crores. So just wanted to check what has happened there.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but we couldn't hear your question as your voice is breaking.
Oh, okay. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir, please continue.
Yeah. So I was asking, investment on your balance sheet is up sharply from 144 crores in last quarter to 355 crores in this quarter. So again, just wanted to check what has happened there.
So Ajit, there is nothing, the way to look at this is you will have to add the cash and cash equivalents, bank balances and the investments. That has actually gone down from about 1600 crores as of last quarter to about 1400 crores. So it's a strategy that we use. If we are able to get a good rate on the fixed deposits, we would prefer placing it there. And typically, March quarter is when banks also are interested in, more of fixed deposits. So, there was good returns on that. With the yields going down, the markets are also good now. So mutual funds are earning closer to FD returns. So that is where, you know, we have put some monies in the investment. So the way to look at it is a combination of cash, bank balances and investments rather than looking at a standalone number. Ashish, does it answer your question?
Yes, sir, the participant has left the queue. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Mahrukh Adajania from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. I just had a few questions. Firstly, you can if you could explain what happened to OPEX, why that was down, and what is the outlook ahead on OPEX?
So, Mahrukh, if you're looking at sequential quarters, this is something that we had highlighted even in the last quarter. In terms of the OPEX, the last quarter had a one-timer in terms of the corporate social responsibility expenses of about 9-10 crores, which is not coming in the current quarter. So that is why, you know, you're seeing slight reduction in the OPEX of the current quarter. And typically, you know, there were other costs that we had taken in the last quarter in terms of provisions for certain conference-related expenses and all, which are not there in the first quarter. So there were one or two one-timers that were there in Q4. Other than that, it's business as usual. Our guidance that we typically try and keep giving you is from a cost-to-income perspective. While last quarter was at about 38%, it's dropped to about 36.6% in the current quarter. We expect this number to be, you know, around 35 to 37%, even in a stable state scenario.
Got it. And my other question is that if rates were to fall and then you're going to pass on, you're going to pass it on to borrowers when rates are cut. So if rates were to fall, how would your margins behave? When will your margins, they've remained pretty stable, they've expanded. So do you see a drop or it will stay above the guided range for a very long time?
See, we will stay above the guided range for a foreseeable future. I won't say very long time, because even if you have to drop the rates, it will only happen on the incremental book, and the existing book, you know, continues to, you know, will continue to keep yielding at 24%. So it's not going to have a, you know, very quick impact in terms of the spreads coming down. But over a medium to long term, I think currently the spreads are more like about 14.6%. We would like this number to normalize maybe by about 100-125 basis points. But that's going to take a medium term at least. It's not going to happen in the short term. And consequently, you will also see shrinkage in the margins, which is currently at about 17.5%. Our guidance has always been that with leverage kicking in, this number will, you know, automatically go down. And with us, you know, getting the spreads down, you should probably see, again, over a medium to long term, this number compressing by about 200 to 225 basis points.
Got it. And just in terms of cost of funds, average versus marginal, would you say, I know there is a gap, but would you still say that average costs have bottomed now, or they can still be further decline?
Nothing major. You can see some decline. Like I said, you know, the book cost is 980, while we are onboarding incremental borrowings at around 950. So there is a gap there. So, you know, you can see some benefit, but it will also be offset to some extent by the MCLR increases that may happen. You know, whatever MCLRs have gone up, like I said, given that we are on the 6 months to 1 year MCLR, these have not still impacted us. So those may come down. So I don't think you will see any significant, you know, benefit coming through in the next few quarters.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sameer Bise from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. So you mentioned that the current book is probably at an all-time high, even compared to obviously pre-COVID numbers. What would you attribute this to? And how do you expect these numbers to move? Obviously, one would want them to improve further. But some changes that you would have implemented and this is the outcome. Some insights would be helpful.
No, no, I understood the question. Let me repeat my answer.
Okay, sure.
I think our current level of 85% of current has moved from a substantial number from COVID-2, because we all know COVID-2 got a hit from a retail customer's perspective. The strategy what we have put in place has really worked out, and that has moved the numbers from earlier lesser numbers to 85% of customers in current today. This will continue, and I foresee this 85% will move closer to 88 to 89% by March 2024, this March, this financial year March. And ideally, I want it to be around 90% of customers in current and 10% of customers can be in delinquent. I was just saying that please remember that the type of customers whom we lend, these are customers who have a little vulnerable cash flows and seasonal incomes. So definitely there will be some delinquencies. If we are able to maintain at 90 to 10, I think it's a great number to have for.
Yes, absolutely. Secondly, on the ticket sizes, obviously the YOY number kind of looks more than a 10% growth. But how does one look at from a 3 to 5 year perspective?
Samir, as we have been guided in last calls, pre-COVID our ticket size was 3.5 lakhs, which dropped down to 2.5 lakhs in COVID 1 and 2 due to our conservative approach. That is getting bounced back. Now we have come to around 3.35 lakh per customer. And taking in next 3 years, this will have the inflation number added to it. So we don't intend to move our ticket size significantly from 3 lakhs to 2x or 3x from here. But definitely the inflation number will be added to it. Maybe in around 3 years down the line, we'll be close to 4.5 to 5 lakhs. That will be the average ticket size. Without moving our profile of customers, we'll be dealing with the same profile of customers, adding the inflation number to the average ticket size.
Okay, great. So this is helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Padhi from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Please proceed.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Great set of numbers. I just had one question on the provisions front. You wanted to know that the current provisions are what we should look for going forward, like the credit cost, or do you expect it to go down, or was there a one-time thing for the Q1?
I think the last year in total, if you look at credit cost, and I'm not talking about the provisions on any specific early DPD loans or the delinquent loans, the credit cost is starting to, you know, sort of come in, because like we updated even in the last call, there was a significant amount of provisions that we had taken, especially during the first and second waves of COVID. And last year was the first year when we, given our lower PDs and lower LGDs, the ECL was coming in lower. But having said that, we are also consciously trying to take that number to something that can sort of stay in. So the guidance that we generally give you on the credit cost at around, you know, 7,500 or, you know, little over above that 100 basis points is something that you should keep in. From an staging perspective, you know, we are also trying to see if we can get the stage one provisions around the RBI stipulated levels of about 40 basis points. But that number is probably, you know, you will see a 5 basis points movement quarterly, depending on, you know, how the PDs and LGDs stack up. On stage 2, I think 8 to 9% is our provision coverage that we are envisaging, and stage 3, like we said, about 40 to 45%. So that's broadly the number that you should build in. There will also be some technical write-offs that we will take on a quarterly basis. I think all of these things should give you, you know, closer to about 75 to 100 basis points of credit cost on a quarterly basis going forward.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Arvind Das from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers, sir. I just had one question. So NIMs are contracted quarter on quarter 77 bits, even though like a portfolio yield has been stable and cost of borrowings on the book has come down. Just trying to understand why is that.
See, it is purely because of the leverage. Earlier a lot of the funding came through from equity, but today we are levering the balance sheet, and when you lever the balance sheet, you will see the NIMs going down, you will see ROAs going down, but that will have a positive impact on the ROEs. So like we said, NIMs will certainly go down as the leverage in the book increases, but I would say we are still in a very, very attractive territory as far as NIM is concerned. But you will definitely see NIM compressions coming through in the future quarters as well.
Okay, sir. Because I asked this question also because we also had consumed liquidity when compared to the last quarter. So I thought even though that hasn't had has a cushioning impact on NIM. So that's why I asked that question. Yeah.
The liquidity comes from debt, right? So which has a cost, and that will pull down the NIM.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Kumar, for an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hi, congratulations on great set of numbers. The current quarter numbers are exactly in line with your revised guidance of 35% CAGR growth for next 2 to 3 years. So really happy to see this kind of number. So my first question is on our branch expansion into northern states. So basically we are a secured lender. So the same kind of business model will be continued in the northern states where we are going to open a new branches rapidly in the next 2 to 3 years. That's my first question, sir.
Yeah, there is no change in the business model as we are moving from south to rest of India. It is a very similar business model with the same yields and similar set of customers. We still believe there is a large opportunity for the category of customers that we are serving. So we are not diluting on anything, whether it is sourcing, underwriting or collections. It's the exact same business model that we would like to replicate there.
Okay, so even in terms of the securitization as well, I mean the self-occupied residency as a...
Yes, it's absolutely. Self-occupied residential property, ticket size, nature of customers, tenure, everything is going to be very similar.
Okay, thanks, sir, that's helpful. And my second question is basically, of course, if you see the evolution of the 5-star, right now we have reached to a stage where our policies, procedures and the process and all the fundamentals of the business are exactly in line with the mature business or something. So bearing this in mind, do we have any future plans catering into the new business lines or the products? Maybe just as an example like microfinance lending or maybe any kind of unsecured lending or something like that.
Ashok, let me be very clear. As I've been saying in last few calls, 5-star is lending to the small shopkeepers and self-employed who are being in millions in our country. So our first work is to go and capture that market, which has been predominantly captured by the moneylenders market. I think we have a lot to do in the existing business and we are extremely doing very well. As answered in the last question also, today we are a predominant south player-based player, having close to 90% plus of our disbursement and AUMs come from south. I think we want to slowly do it in the rest of the country. That is the intent. So you will see a lot of activities happening in the other states apart from south. So we have a lot to do in the same business model and we are doing extremely very well, both from a growth perspective, quality perspective. I think we have revised our guidance from 30 to 35%, keeping this business model in mind, not getting into any different product at this point of time. So let's be very clear. So we want to be a very specialist one of the leading lenders to the unlent segment of this country. That's where Tristar wants to be.
Excellent, sir. Excellent. This is really helpful. So just a clarification. So the revised guidance will be 35% CAGR growth from the next 3 years in terms of the AUM and the profitability, or did I misunderstood it?
So what I said is for next 3 years AUM, I think profitability will also be in line.
Okay, so that's a 35% CAGR. That's what we are aiming for.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. It's really helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Savate from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, Nischint. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So just just clarifying, we have seen around 9% quarter on quarter loan growth, 10% quarter on quarter loan growth. And that has translated into a 100 basis point sort of a reduction in margins. Is that the only reason, or is there anything else? I understand obviously yields and spreads are visible what they are, but.
Nitya, I'm not able to get what 100% you're talking about? 100
bits? Yeah. Sorry, your margins have got down by almost 100 basis points. So my point was that, is this purely because of leverage? Because, your loan book is up 9.5% quarter on quarter. So,
Nishant, it's purely because of leverage, nothing else.
And with that, taking this forward and your new growth guidance, would you have any views? When do you probably need to raise capital?
I think, Nishant, we are very long way away from raising our capital. I think, as we said in last calls, our goal is now to increase the return on equity to the shareholders. As you see from the numbers from last quarter, we have moved from 16.10 to 16.62. And from last year, we moved from 14.78 to 16.62. I think the trajectory is very clear. Our logic is very clear. And I think way forward, we have to increase the return on equity. That can come as we increase our leverage. The capital adequacy in which Tristar enjoys today, it means for next 5 to 7 years, we may not think of raising any capital.
So, sorry, what I wanted to actually check was, would you want to call out a target, peak leverage ratio?
Nishin, this is again something that we have been, sort of guiding. We would like to operate at a peak leverage ratio. And I'm talking about leverage, which is total assets to equity. At around, 4.5 to 5x levels, which means, debt equity of about 3.5 to 4. But again, given the internal accruals that we'll continue to keep doing, this is a number that's quite far off is our belief. Definitely not going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years. But thereafter, depending on the growth and the profitability. But we would like to operate at this levels, because even lenders, rating agencies are comfortable at this level rather than, going all the way up to 6, 7, 8.
Perfect. That's helpful. Just one question, a little qualitative is, are you seeing more competition at the ground, either in terms of, with your customers or for your employees?
Yes, competition is always there. There is no lending product without competition. But comparing to other products, I will say the competition is lesser because people find it very difficult to crack what Tristar has cracked for last 20 years, because this is the customers where you don't have the credit history or a credit document to underwrite. We have to do it in a touch and feel model, and over a period of time, you will only master it. So I don't see there is much competition getting into secured loans. I don't know about unsecured loans, because that is the talk of the town. Maybe the unsecured loans part may be a little heated up. From a secured perspective, around that 3 lakh to 5 lakh ticket size, where Tristar is sweetly positioned, there are only a handful of players. And within that, Tristar scores well, both from growth perspective, quality and profitability perspective. So I don't see any big threat coming from competition.
Perfect. Thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Prakash Toshniwal from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the results. Few questions. Just going back on the provisioning cost question, we had approximately 500 basis point reduction in ECL provision for stage 3. Does this related to any change in policy or it's a normal cost of business?
So there is no change, Jay Prakash. It's the policy remains same. It is just, you know, on the stage 3 assets, if you look at, we create higher provisions on deep delinquent accounts, and also certain overlays. So some of the deep delinquent accounts have come off, have settled. So, you know, we create 100% provision on, let us say, on a loan which is more than a certain DPD. Now, if that loan settles, then, you know, automatically the numbers will come down, right? So you will always, while 5% looks high when you say the number, on a overall book of about 1.5% or 1.4% that we are talking about, that number is fairly small. And because the book is also small, even, you know, few settlements could make a skew this way or that way. That is why, you know, we typically guide around 40 to 45%, because we cannot exactly say that the number will hover around, you know, wherever. But I think we will try and maintain 40% definitely for the foreseeable future.
Okay. And sir, while in the presentation you mentioned about your IT progress policy, could you, I remember earlier you were talking about by Q2 you would be there on the LOS and all. So what is the timeline right now for reaching the milestone of LOS and other IT infrastructure build-up which you're doing?
So Mr. Jay Prakash, we have gone live with the new LOS, which is the Salesforce. We are doing gradual roll up plans. So as we speak at the end of Q1, we have 103 branches which have gone live with the Salesforce. The idea is that this will be at least close 200 branches by Q2 and will be fully live with Salesforce by the end of Q3. So that's the current rollout plan. In addition to that, we have also gone live with our new HRMS, which is Darwin Box platform. We have gone live with that and we have completely moved over to cloud, which is an AWS migration from our existing private servers that we were holding. The other key initiative from an IT perspective is also that we have moved to Oracle Fusion GL completely, which is obviously much more scalable and a robust platform as far as GL is concerned. So these are the big initiatives that has happened in IT specifically during Q1.
Okay. And the last question on the cluster strategy illustration which you mentioned in the presentation. Does it mean that our branch peak account handling capacity is somewhere around 1,800 to 2,000 accounts and AUM of somewhere around 30 to 50 crores?
Yeah, so I wouldn't call it as the peak capacity, but I think from a prudence perspective and from a risk management perspective, we will always want to make sure that when a branch crosses that level, we are sort of diversifying when a branch reaches about close to 2,000 accounts, it very clearly indicates that there is strong potential in the market. So why do you need to concentrate everything in a single branch? So our idea has always been that open a cluster of branches around that and we will distribute accounts accordingly. So that's the strategy that we have explained through two live examples, one in AP and one in PM.
Okay. And so last question on the collection infrastructure. While I remember we were building up a team in PM and one other geography, if you can speak about that point, that's it. So that's the question, last question.
So on the collections infrastructure, I think we had gone out with the vertical structure both in Tamil Nadu and Telangana. So it's an evolving model because as the company's current bucket is improving, we are constantly evaluating the fact that we probably don't need the same level of collection infrastructure and a little bit of people can always move back from collections back to the business because that helps us achieve incremental growth without additional headcount. So this is something that we are constantly evaluating and wherever possible in whichever regions, this is something that we will keep moving. So you can see that the buckets have improved and this is something that we have done in a few regions already in Telangana as far as Q1 is concerned.
Okay. Great, sir. Thanks. I'll fall back into this, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just two questions here. One was on write-offs. What would be the technical write-offs for this quarter versus same quarter last year? And second one would be on this. What would be the share of top five? Since we have spread across 50 borrowing partners, what would be the share of the top five?
Pallavi, I think the write-off this quarter was at about 1.85 crores. Just give me a second, I'll give you the number for last quarter as well. So this is the write-off that we did for this June quarter. Last quarter, we had actually a return of about 4.6 crores. So it's lesser. But, you know, don't do this comparison. It also, what we will typically say is about 25 basis points of our book gets written off in a particular financial year, 25 to 30 basis points. The quarterly dispersion of that could be a little different, you know, depending on the, some of the numbers stack up, because these are more technical write-offs and not permanent write-offs. But yeah, the number is 2 crores as compared to 4.5 crores. 2 crores this quarter, year on year, 4.5 crores for the same quarter last year. In terms of the, you know, borrowing mix, I think that is again that we had given in the presentation itself. We have about 66% of our borrowings in the form of bank term loans, about 21% through securitization transactions. These are the two major structures that we have borrowed in. On the capital market side, we have done about 6%, which are NCDs, and we have done about 5%, you know, term loans from other institutions, could be NBFCs and all, and 2% is ECBs. Given that there is a good amount of interest from the bank side and for institutions to do securitization transactions, those will be the focus areas for this financial year. We will continue to, you know, keep tapping the capital markets for NCDs. The only problem in raising money for us through NCDs is typically NCDs, especially from MFs, come with a shorter tenor of about, you know, 24 to 30 months, while we typically prefer at least 36 to 48 months. So there could be some bit of a tenor mismatch, which is where, you know, we keep ourselves low. But we will continue to keep evaluating this. If you look at our top five lenders, I think we have some of the largest names on that. We have State Bank of India as our largest lender. We have Kotak, which has a very significant exposure. We have Bank of Maharashtra, who have lent, you know, big monies to us. And we have IndusInd Bank, who will be one among the top five. And probably, you know, Axis Bank will be the other, Axis and HDFC Bank will be the other lenders, will be in the top 5 to 10 lenders to the company.
Right. And my question was in the term loans from the banks only. What would be the share of the top five banks in that?
66%, you will probably see about 40% coming in from the top five.
Right.
Maybe not 40%. I would say about 35%.
Okay. And so what would be the tenor for these term loans from the banks?
These are long tenor, yeah. So especially on the PSU side, we have even started getting loans which are 7-year tenures. But in private sector, give us for 4 to 5 years. So on an average, the origination tenure on term loans from banks will be anywhere around 5.5 to 6 years.
And so one last, just curious, you know, we do not have a rating from CRISIL, a long-term rating. Any particular reason for that?
Nothing particular, you know, these are the, you know, these are the rating agencies who have been associated with the company for, I would say, for at least about 6-7 years. So, you know, CARE and ICRA have been rating the company at least since 2015-2016, so we have gone ahead with them. Recently, we have done with India Ratings. I think CRISIL will definitely come at some point of time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Franklin Moraes from Equintis Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I wanted to understand in the newer regions that you are entering, who would be your competition and what would be the break-even period?
So Franklin, I think we expect the break-even period to be a little longer. In South, we typically break even in about 6 months. But I think, you know, given that for the first 2 years, generally we don't go with a very specific target for a branch. And in rest of India,
we will want to be definitely more careful than what we are doing in South. So the break-even period will be a little longer. We expect it to be close to probably 9-10 months. On the competition front, it is, you know, small finance banks to an extent, regional players who are there in particular states. Actually, majority regional players who are there in particular states. There are very few pan-India players who are also having a very similar focus like us.
And on your AUM growth upgrade from 30% to 35% in this quarter, so what would be a specific, maybe a couple of reasons that would have led us to this upgrade?
See, saying that since COVID 2, including COVID 1 and 2, our growth was around 15%. COVID 1 we grew at 14-15, and COVID 2 also we grew at 14%. So we started to move our growth once we saw the COVID all got settled and collections are back in full action, because we give more importance to collections rather than growth. So we saw from December 2021 onwards the collections coming in a pre-COVID level. So then the growth started to focus. So that is how we gave a guidance of 30% from 15% growth what we saw. And last year we grew at 36%, which was very encouraging from our guidance. But what we saw in September, December and March of last financial year, that business momentum is continuing same in June as well as in July month too. So that is where we the revised in guidance was being put in place. So growing at 10% Q on Q, and seeing the momentum for next three quarters very strongly in the existing and the newer geographies, so we think we can easily grow at 35%. So the execution back on Five Star and the strong momentum that what we are seeing in disbursement and the opportunity that it's a long runway that we have, all put together has made our guidance to move from 30 to 35%.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pooja Ahuja from Monarch Network. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the quarter. Firstly, wanted to understand what has led to a sharp drop in our capital adequacy QOQ?
So two things, Pooja. One is obviously the growth in the book. Second is you know, like I said, the mutual fund investments that we have, that we kept as of June, that is risk-weighted at 100%. The fixed deposits are not risk-weighted at 100%. So that is what has caused the drop. But, you know, given our very high capital adequacy, we are happy, you know, keeping it in an asset that gives us a little better yield as compared to the FDs.
Sure, understood. And secondly, on the growth, I wanted to understand, while you've guided for 35%, we've given a 40% plus growth, what are the levels that we would be comfortable with and what would be our early warning signal in terms of this is where we would cap, even though we would find opportunities of growth higher than 35%?
Yeah, 35%, we don't see any warning signal to emerge from, because pre-COVID, we were growing at 90% year on year. So that growth already had seen it. But the growth got dropped in COVID 1 and 2 on a conscious reason. The growth is back in Five Star. So we are moving from 30 to 35% guidance. This guidance can even be revised as we see continuous momentum and strong disbursement across the geographies where we are strongly present, and entering into the new geographies, that those confidence with me also revise. See, as long as I keep saying, as long as your collections and quality remains robustic with lesser competition in this product, we will not see any warning signal apart from this. So our collections always on top priority. The quality of asset will be the first warning signal. I think we have been maintaining at this quality of asset for last 20 years. And the competition, as I said in earlier question, is far and few comparing to the other lending products. So I don't see any hurdle in growing at 35% year on year growth for next 3 years. That's our positive outlook.
My question was more from the point of view of while we can be comfortably growing at 35%, if there are levers to grow further, what is the kind of cap that we'd put, let's say, at maybe 40%, or is this 35% level that we would be comfortable with on a more sustainable basis?
Yeah, 35% is the guidance, but, you know, I think a little bit this side, that side is okay. But, you know, I don't think we will go with a particular number in mind that this is something that we have to achieve. So depending on market opportunities, we can be, you know, we can be a little more agile. But like Mr. Pathy put it, the signal for us is on the asset quality.
Okay, understood. Yeah, that's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agam from Raj Trading. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So I had a quick question. In the commentary, you mentioned that for this quarter, I think you have provided around more than 1.5 bits of credit cost. You have guided for around 1% credit cost. So is this it for this quarter, and maybe for next remaining three quarters, will come down? So on a year-on-year basis, the credit cost will be in the guided range?
No, Agam, for this quarter, the credit cost came in at 70 basis points, not 1.5%. The gross NPA was at 1.41%.
Okay. And typically, in your presentation, the 40th slide, you have shown the 30 plus DPD, which is consistently moving every quarter on quarter and monthly. So it is around currently, let's say 9%. So where do you see this number settling in? Or what is a healthy number to look at this?
Sorry, Agam, we missed your question. Can you repeat it?
Yeah. In your presentation, on the slide number 40, you have given a data point on 30 plus DPD in percentage, which has been declining every quarterly. So where can this number settle at, or any number which you aspire to be in? This is a 9.68 this quarter.
No, like we mentioned, obviously, you know, the impact of the second wave of COVID did push up this number. And we have been consciously taking efforts to bring this number down, which is why, you know, you're seeing it coming down all the way from about 15.7% to 9.7% as we speak. When the current bucket moves up to 90% and, you know, you're looking at 30 plus number, you will also see something in the 1 to 30 day bucket. So when we get to a current of, you know, 89 to 90% and a number, we will probably have a 30 plus number, which will be more like 5-6% levels. That is where it will stabilize. But, you know, from here onwards, the drop also will be, you know, more gradual as what you saw in the last, you know, between June and December. So June and December, you would have probably seen about 3.5% drop. I don't think, but, you know, even compared to last quarter, it's only a 70 basis points drop. So you will start seeing the drop becoming a lot more gradual. And hopefully over the next 4 to 6 quarters, this number should settle, you know, around 5-6% or thereabouts.
Correct. And now last question. On the concentration side, like how deeply penetrated in terms of your top states we are, so the incremental growth will be from the other states, or yet there is enough district level penetration to go in your core states itself?
So clearly, Agam, the core states is what is going to be the primary growth driver for the next 3 to 5 years. We have guided that for all the new branch openings totally, almost 80% of the new branches will come in from the core states of south states itself, because that is our stronghold, that is the areas where we have very significant experience and we have built a very good team. So this is the guidance that we had given. The core states will continue to grow. The newer states, like we had guided earlier, it's more for us to understand these markets, but it's not for immediate AUM growth. But the fact that we will be wetting our feet in these new states and gaining, you know, practical exposure there will help us for growth beyond the 3 to 5 years from now. So if you look at from short to medium term, the primary growth regions will be from the south.
So you don't see any market, you know, topping out in any of our core states. There is yet huge opportunity in the core state itself.
Yes, we still believe we are very early stage and multiple opportunities to penetrate far deeper.
Okay. That's it from my side, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rathi from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So the first question on the growth, raise of the growth guidance from 30 to 35%, I wanted to understand what would be driving this growth. Will it be more in the increase in the ticket size, or would it be driven by addition of new branches, or would it be driven by our normal branches getting converted into a super branch? Or would we be increasing the target for our existing employees? So what would be the drivers for it, if you can give some colors?
Yeah, definitely, Sumit. I think, as I was saying in earlier questions, the growth momentum has been seen very strong for last 4 quarters. So that's the primary factor where we are increasing our growth guidance from 30-35%. The growth comes from 3 levers. That's what we have been always saying. The first lever is the increase in branches. Last year, we opened close to 70-75 branches. This year, we wanted to do a little bit more. So it may be around 80-85 branches. First quarter, we opened close to 13 branches. And more branches will be there in the Q2 and Q3. So the first lever of growth will come from number of branches that we intend to open for this financial year. Second will be at the branch level, average of officers per branch is somewhere around 8 officers per branch. That will move from 8 to 8.5 to 8.5 to 9. So that will bring in more number of people to do more business and collection. So that's the second lever of growth that we intend to see. Third, of course, there will be increase in ticket size. As we said, we are bouncing back to the pre-COVID ticket size of 3.5 lakhs. And inflationary, around 6-7% will get added to the ticket size of what we are currently into it. So all these 3 levers put together and the strong momentum that what we see at the ground level for last 4 quarters made us to move from 30% guidance to 35%. So it is not that we are putting pressure on our the existing officers. Our existing productivity itself is one of the best in this lending space. So we don't intend to put any more pressure from our sourcing officers. So the levers of growth will confidently bring 35% or even more as we move forward.
Wonderful. Sir, on the increase in the borrowing side and your intent of adding more value to investors by increasing the ROE, so what kind of leverage can we envisage, say, over next 2 to 3 years? Like right now, currently we are at around 2x leverage in our ROE tree. So going forward, like if you can give some color.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good question. As we have been saying in the calls, our plan is moving from ROA to ROE. If you see in last 4 quarters, the ROE is keeping on increasing. So the plan and strategy is really working around. Yes, we have to increase our leverage. That's where we are increasing our putting our focus to. So as we speak, we are at 2x of leverage. That will move towards 3 to 4x in next 3 years. At a growth of 35%, you get the mathematical answer to it. And you see that 16.62% will be closer to 18% in next 3 years. So that's the game plan. And over a long term, from 3 years to 5 years, we see that touching 20 and even crossing 20% ROE to our customers, to our shareholders.
Great, great. So thank you and all the best for the coming quarters and year. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Desai from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good set of numbers. My main question was on the AUM growth, and I think you have provided good clarity on where the 3 levers should come from. So my another question is that you mentioned that the number of people per branches will increase. And from my what I understand about how the cluster branches work, once a specific number of accounts exceed a branch, you open a new branch. So with the people in a certain number of branches increasing from, let's say, 8 to 9, as you mentioned, would this number of accounts also increase per branch, the threshold would increase, and how that would affect your plans to expand the branches going ahead? And sir, considering that you are going to be investing in technology branches and manpower altogether, sir, when can we see the operating leverage to flow in and the economic efficiencies to drive moderation in the OPEX to AUM ratios? Thank you. Everything else.
So, Parth, you are right in your observation, because from a cluster approach, as we keep opening new branches by transferring accounts, we don't need to put more number of officers in those branches. So, it's a balance call that we'll have to take, whether we intend to put more officers and graduate that to a super branch, or whether we want to split it because we see more opportunities in the cluster and then open up a new branch. So, it's going to be a combination of these two depending on whatever region in which we are operating. But that is only one of the levers that Mr. Pathy had mentioned. So if, let us say, we are not able to find opportunities to put more officers in the same branch, that will more than adequately get compensated by the more number of branches that we are able to open in the cluster. So that's, on the first question. On your second question, see, we are still in a very heavy investment phase, and we have been guiding in the past also that our cost to income ratios is one of the best in the industry at this point of time. So we will not want you to assume too much of efficiencies coming in through operational cost savings at this point of time. We are very profitable. We will continue to invest at this point of time as we see good market opportunities. These technology initiatives will at least take 18 to 24 months for us to, go deeper and start seeing some operational efficiencies and cost savings coming through.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Srikanth Gopalakrishnan for closing comments. Over to you.
So thank you all. I think as a company, we are continuing to hold your investor, the interest as well as the confidence that each of you have placed on us. We are confident of delivering the results that we have sort of guided you on. And for now, we would like to sign off and look forward to connecting with you post the September results. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And thank you to the members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.